Thank you. And go Bears.
And thank you for being a part of things today, because it was a fun one. We thank Paul Charchian, Matt Bowen, Darnell Mayberry, and Brian Mitchell for joining us. Ray Diaz, Adam Stasinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell for producing what we do. Got your pizza?
Pizza's delicious.
Isn't it? Well, everybody enjoying the Spiegel and Holmes show today is going to also enjoy the La Villa pizza and more. So let's send it across the hallway to the Spiegel and Holmes show with the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. Blue Cross and Blue Shield through it all. Hello.
Hello, man.
What's up, dude?
What's up?
What's up, man? You know, we love a crowd. Natural performers, talkers, chatters. And as the people come in, this is going to be really fun. This is our first time as a show
folks,
out in front of people.
There's food. Go get the food first. Then you can come back and watch this stupid radio show. But or La Villa was nice enough to bring awesome pizza, so get it while it's hot.
Lawrence, I have started the food, by the way, and it's delicious. And
yeah, well, Lawrence brought the producer's pizza.
Oh.
We had to go get our own. You
thanks, Lawrence.
Yeah.
You're my guy, Ray.
Hey, Bernsey, who worked harder for Lawrence when you guys were all together?
Well, I think Ray deserves the food then.
Okay.
Yeah, he thought about that. He had to think about it, though.
Yeah,
he knows that.
Got to be honest. You know, a few people work harder than Ray and Studs.
That's what I'm saying,
you know,
man.
They do the dirty work, no doubt. But I went and I got my pepper steak, and it's spectacular.
Yeah, they have a setup here for us that is wild. Because at first I'm like, oh, they brought a cup. Oh, they brought like 80 pizzas. And then I'm like, oh, and they brought pasta. Oh, and they brought salad. Oh, and they brought all sorts of other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, La Villa is a straight up institution on the Northwest side, man. So it's like, it feels so damn Chicago to be having this meal. And having it in this space. And I mean, this space rules. You guys know this is like a real legit music space right here. There's great instruments behind us and off to the side on the green room. And this stage is awesome.
Wait, so, Matt, are you playing?
You never know. You never know.
Did you duck your head into the green room and check out like the instruments and stuff?
Oh, yeah, man. It's all there, including the cajon, that little percussion box that like the drummers will sit on when they don't feel like playing a kit if they're going acoustic. Hell yeah. So we can't wait to talk about some really exciting Bulls basketball.
Oh, don't
on
do that.
Stage.
Don't do that. The sarcasm was easily detected in that statement.
So I've come to a determination, because I was a fan of Josh Giddey and his offensive game. Okay.
Is that past tense? Like you're done with him?
No. His offensive game, I still think, and then there were moments last night where you go, ooh, look at that. Like, look at him looking for Vooch and
right.
Looking at him break down defenses.
Is shooting part of a good offensive game?
For most people, but not really for him, which is part of the reason that he ended up getting benched. My feeling on this, I finally come to the conclusion. I don't like his game overall because he plays it like an open gym. Like, his whole game, if you watch him, is like open gym.
So, like, LA Fitness.
Yes. Like, he kind of doesn't care if someone blows by him. He just kind of wants to get the ball back in bounds so he can go back on offense.
Oh, no.
And I just don't like it at all.
That's well described.
I don't like that. You know what I was thinking when I was watching him last night? I was like, this reminds me of early Ben Simmons before we knew he was scared to shoot. And then he doesn't play defense, so not as good defensively as Ben Simmons, who can play 1 through 5 on defense. Mm-hmm. And then there's a reason why we were okay with Ben Simmons not shooting once we saw him finally shoot, but Josh Giddey takes shots. And if he's not going to make free throws, I have a personal issue with point guards who can't make free throws.
And Ben Simmons is athletic enough to actually take you to the rim and finish, right?
Right.
And Ben Simmons can D up 1 through 3 and sometimes
1 through 4.
Yeah, no, he can D up 1 through 5, straight up. I've seen that in over the span of a few seasons.
So Ben Simmons and the contract were a disaster, but like Josh Giddey, Oklahoma City's like, all right, it's time to decide whether to pay you. Yeah, we're not going to. And then they got Caruso for him. The Bulls aren't going to pay him. You can't pay that.
No, I think that's the bigger conclusion, Lawrence, while you're talking about the open gym stuff. I was just, he wanted $30 million a year, right? Yeah. What?
He wants that money that we just saw all those dudes sign their extensions. All those guys that just signed right before opening day. That's what he's due next year. Yeah. So he's thinking, oh, next year I get my bag. I get my 125.
I don't think he's getting that.
No, he's not.
I wouldn't give it to him.
No.
But I will award him a choice at the Doug McDermott defensive accessory wall. I've seen one game of him as a Bull, and he has the nunchucks.
He's already got the link, so the nunchucks really.
He may not pick the nunchucks.
Give him a mace, and he's still not going to be able to defend people.
There are four things: you get a metal folding chair, or a tennis racket, or a pool cue, or nunchucks.
I go tennis racket on that.
It depends on what your objective is.
Well,
you can trade it. You can swap it out. It depends who you're guarding.
I don't know. I think tennis racket is the most malleable of those four tools. Like, I can just use it to straight extend.
Yep.
I could also flip it around and poke at the ball.
Right, but the pool cue gives you the length.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the nunchucks because you could theoretically hold it like a baton and run and get back, and then when you get into your defensive stance,
unleash it.
I'm a rim protector with the nunchucks.
I'm back on the tennis racket. I know it's an inconvenience to hold your arm in the air, but
and wave it like you just don't care.
But if you put the racket in the hand and extend the arm, you're getting some pretty good length.
I think so too, and it's also relatively light for its surface area, which is why it's the best thing when you're destroying a hornet's nest.
Totally, and you can squeeze it in between people. You know, you could chase with it very effectively. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, because it's light. Yeah. It's up to him.
But either way, he has been granted dispensation and access to the Doug McDermott defensive accessory wall.
What about the rest of the Bulls? Because they could probably use that too.
Lawrence. It's one game. I tried not to get carried away with my thoughts after one game.
Marshall, it's not one game because we know that Zach is disinterested in playing defense, and he was out there getting buckets, so I'm not that mad at him. And we know that Vooch, what Daniel Tice did to them on screen last night,
I know.
Not great.
Who's the worst individual defender on that team?
Giddy.
It's Giddy by a mile.
It's probably Giddy.
But Zach is nearby, and Vooch exists. Like, there was a moment when Giddy and Zach were the two defenders on one side as New Orleans went two-man game, and I was like, what are we doing?
I also enjoy when Brandon Ingram realized that Giddy was guarding him in the post, and he was like, hilarious. Oh, that's laughable. Oh, Watch this.
DeJounte Murray, doing anything he wanted to do with the ball.
How about Javonte Green taking over the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. The third quarter, when Javonte Green's 8.5 minutes, that's when I was like, I'm out.
Well, Javonte's like, oh, you're not going to dive for loose balls?
He's like,
that's my whole thing. Right. I do.
He played with the Bulls. He understands exactly what he's going up against.
Yeah, they looked at 50-50 balls as a nuisance. That happened again.
Let me also say that that Patrick Williams' passivity has become insulting. Now that he's been paid, you are gifted and you're talented and you're drafted high with playtime promised. And then they give you the extension for whatever reason, because they didn't trade you and maybe they could have. And now you've got lifetime wealth ahead of you, probably generational wealth if you play it right. And still you don't bust a grape. I am offended by your passivity now.
One defensive rebound.
I've been holding on. Dan asked, how long am I going to hold on? How much time am I going to give Patrick Williams to develop into the guy I think he can be based on his physical skill set? And I said 6 years. I'll give him 6 years.
But they paid him for...
Well, I mean, that does make him 27. So, I mean, I understand where Marshall's coming from, because that's supposedly when guys...
Hit their NBA prime.
The problem is that there just haven't been enough moments.
No, you can just stop right there. There was a period after enough.
Enough? I don't have to add the ellipses.
No, just a period.
You got to know. As a front office, you got to scout your own guys and know and get out while the getting's good. They could have got something for Pat Williams over the last couple of offseasons.
They're not getting the same scouting report that other teams are getting for those same guys.
Well, I still think that if he shoots 40% from three.
And he is. He will.
Three and D guy.
If he shoots 40% from three and plays defense, a team will want him.
Bobby Portis on another channel last night, right? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there's your... I mean, Portis a couple inches taller, but we watched Bobby. And we guess
but Portis plays with his hair on fire.
Right, and he always did. He always did, even when he was here. That's the thing. I don't believe that you can learn to play with your hair on fire, you know?
Yeah, you can tune it down, but you can't tune it up.
You can tune a fish, but not a guitar.
Piano, but you can't tune a
piano. Something like that.
Wow.
That's beautiful stuff.
All right, the crowd's here now and available.
And the crowd is going wild.
That deserved a rim shot.
And Lawrence is disgust.
That's okay.
Yeah. How do you guys like their chances the game two chances? At Milwaukee Friday
I don't,
night?
I don't like it. Don't like
don't
it.
Don't like it. Because I saw what the Bucks did to the Sixers. They didn't have Joel Embiid and they didn't have Paul George, but I was just like, Giannis looks very Giannis-y.
When they made that trade, Dan and I were talking about it. I was like, man, this really makes sense because of the screen roll game that you could have with Dame and Giannis.
Uh-huh.
And it never really materialized last year. It materialized last night.
Yeah, but Dame's issues aren't offensive. Dame's like an honorary bull when it comes to what he's turned into defensively.
But they have guys with Giannis and Lopez and everything else.
You got Lopez. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You got by me. Now deal with that.
Now, what do the Bulls have when they get by Giddy?
Nothing.
Well, see, that was another one of the problems yesterday. Because if you're watching all of the easy buckets that New Orleans got, it would be Giddy doing his Olay impersonation. And then there's Vooch. And Vooch hung up the... I'm not interested, sign.
Yeah, there's an early moment where Joel Myers and the Pelicans broadcast, because that's how I was
your
tuning
guy.
In. Yeah, I love Joel Myers. Always have. You love it, you big tight end. Where I was watching that broadcast, they're like, Vooch is in no man's land. And I don't even know who the color analyst is, but like three possessions later, he's like, wow, he hangs out a lot in no man's land. And I was dying.
It's one man's land. It's his land.
His land is my land.
It's Vooch's land.
It's Vooch man's land. Yes. I mean, that's where he hangs out. He's like, I'm not coming all the way up to close out on any kind of shooter, but I'm also not going back to protect the rim. That's where he lives, and he lives there offensively, too.
Lawrence speaks. I've been debating on starting a pool with all of us, right? But I can't decide if the pool is who's the first Bull traded or when is the first trade made Ooh. From the Bulls. You see, like, which one is a better pool?
I kind of like the... Who is the first Bull traded?
Okay.
I think that has more flavor to it.
I wanted Zach to go at halftime.
I mean, the thing that you worry about with Zach is, you know, that he was killing it from the left wing last night.
Yes.
And it's just like, just don't get hurt. That's all you're trying to prove to people that you can still score. Say all the right things in front of a microphone. Don't get hurt.
I posed this question to Dan. I posed it to Darnell Mayberry, who we had on. It's like, is shop open today? Like, are they out here trying to get a trade done today, or is there a certain point in the season which they're trying to move some of these guys?
NBA usually waits. NBA waits a good long while.
I just meant from a Bull standpoint, Speaks.
Oh,
like,
well,
but in general, the market usually waits because some guys are
getting
still
hurt.
Well, yeah, guys, like DeJounte Murray last night.
It's also this draft class, I believe, is protected up until a certain date, and or picks are protected until a certain date. The NBA does not
even
want
free agent signings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't want a flurry of deals early, so they build in artificial deadlines that allow people to sort of age into tradability.
Marshall, I do like the concept, though, because to me, what that means is that I imagine that it's AK sending cut-ups around the league with little notes. Like, did you see how well Zach played? Look at this. Don't you need this on your team?
I mean, Zach has achieved his destiny, which is to be the best player and leading scorer on a bad team.
Loves it.
I mean, that is what he was brought into this league to be. And I don't think, I mean, maybe somebody will take a flyer, I'm sure they will, and they'll try to make him the third best player on a good team, and that will have a ceiling because Zach is not a winning player and not a real two-way player. But as long as he's on a squad like this, dude is he's a walking 27.
Is Zach's future on an actual contender, is it as a sixth man? A guy just comes in and just goes off, and it could be at the end of the game, like a Lou Williams type.
I think he'd be a really good second unit scoring guy.
That's what I'm saying, a second unit scorer.
But he won't accept it.
You're saying he doesn't want to win? He's already been paid.
Yes, I'm saying that.
Oh, okay.
Why, yes.
Oh, man. I think if he wins, it would be fine. I don't think that that's what drives him.
Dang.
Yeah, it's rough.
That is.
That's rough stuff.
That is really.
Here's what I would always, what Dan and I would always say. The difference between him and DeMar, DeMar is a hooper. Zach is a dude who's really good at basketball. There's a difference.
Zach's a scorer.
Yeah, well, he's not a winning player. We know that. He's not a defender. He's not a guy who moves the ball where it's supposed to be moved and when it's supposed to be moved, but he is so clearly
skilled.
The most skilled and gifted scorer on the entire floor last night.
Yeah, you're very skilled.
Mm-hmm.
And great. I can make $200 million. Yep. Doing this and just kind of doing this thing that I'm doing.
Right. And it's not that he doesn't work hard at it.
No, he works extremely hard on his skills.
Yeah.
He doesn't work hard on the game, like game situations. Look at all of the turnovers that Zach would have in fourth quarters of games. Look at as Callie says, look at what happens when they try to make him Batman and what he turned into. Like, he would give the ball away. And Zach seems like a really nice guy. I would love for him to care more, but he kind of doesn't, and that's his prerogative. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's funky. Like, there's just something in the wiring that's not there.
But you can tell when someone's a hooper and someone's not. Alex Caruso's a hooper. DeMar DeRozan is a hooper.
Right.
Javonte Green is a hooper.
How many hoopers are on this current Bulls team? How many hoopers are on this current Bulls team? That's the question.
That's a great question.
I think Julian Phillips is.
I think I'd rather see Julian Phillips than Patrick Williams. I'm watching it last night. I'm like, man, give me Julian Phillips and let's see what that grows into.
I think Modest will be.
I think Modest will be as well. I think Kobe is.
I think Kobe and Io are hoopers.
Io's absolutely
a hooper.
I will tell you this, too, that the biggest victory we've had on this show is that you said what you said and that my partner did not launch into the chorus of my prerogative. I'm just that may be the biggest upset that we've had so far on this show.
Hey, Marshall can sing.
No, I know. I cannot sing.
I know, let's be real. I mean, that's just
he likes a good 80s and 90s reference.
New Jack Swing is right.
All of that.
There.
I'm not listening to that new stuff. Get off me. Let me live.
Did you at least listen to the song I sent you?
I did listen to that. I want to go check out. I'm going to check out the whole album.
Okay. Cool.
So I appreciate you sharing that.
Try to get people up on stuff. So look, here's what we got going on. We got a whole group of people in here. They're like smiling at us. Some of them don't even know that there's like a whole lot of food back there.
Some don't even know where they are.
They just walked in here.
It's like I put blindfolds in them to get them up here.
Just released from mental hospitals.
I think they think Lawrence is Danny. I'm pretty sure that that's happening.
I mean, I can see that.
I don't like baseball.
It's radio.
Talk about
it's radio. They don't know.
An ill-fitting blazer.
Man,
we still got been tailored up pretty good.
The blazer talk's got to stop. That man's he's better now than he was on day one.
Absolutely, and it wasn't even that bad on day one. He's rocking it. But yeah, man, we got people. We got a crowd. We got tons of Bears content and football content. We have delicious food across the way. We got Dave Wanstead in studio with us having bourbon at 5 o'clock.
And your executive producer is walking around with a live pig in a wagon.
Yeah, we heard about that. That will not be happening during our show. Okay. We beta tested it on yours. We didn't hear about it.
Okay, good.
Always the midday show.
We still don't know what happened. We still don't know what happened.
Yeah, we beta tested it with you guys, and then we were like, nah, we're probably not going to do that. But
you should have cooked it. That was the move.
We like bacon over here, so.
Who doesn't? Well, yeah. Also, we're going to talk with Logan Paulson at 2:40. He's been doing really good breakdowns of quarterbacks lately. Curious what he thinks about the Bears quarterback and, of course, Jaden Daniels. Also on the show today, we have Mark Grody doing his Bears report. We're going to play categories.
And we've got Jarrett Payton. I want to continue the uh, The fathering conversation we had in transition yesterday a little bit with Jared.
Oh, that's a great.
And we did
Cats in the Cradle in the Silver Spoon.
We were doing real stuff. If anybody does want to check out episode 95 of Organizations Win Championships, it was real stuff yesterday.
Yeah, based on some of that conversation.
Yeah, about what it's like to be a Nepo baby, what it's like to get an opportunity and know how people look at you and know how people are thinking of you differently and being appreciated. Appreciative, while also, you know, not necessarily having to feel guilty about it.
There you go. We got Jared Payton. We got Liv Tyler later on. What other Nepo babies?
Whoa!
We put on.
I was going to say Frank Sinatra Jr. unavailable.
Frank Jr. Yeah. Oh, I got a good Frank Sinatra Jr. story.
Is it like the Stevie Nicks story?
It's very similar.
Really?
Same body part, as a matter of
fact. All right.
Substance? Yeah. Go ahead. Anyway, us out here, Lawrence.
Yeah, you guys have a wonderful day. We're going to start our show with these beautiful people after Tanny's Open next here on The Score.
This segment is sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking.